Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Hey, we continue and finalize our series on the fruit of the Spirit today. Bit of fun this morning to kick things off. I want to set the scene, all right? I'm going to show something up on the screen. Watch the screens and we'll get into it. I want the whole world's presence. All right, going down memory lane. Enjoy that. I mean, the original was the best, right? I mean, how good. I want it now. Veruca Salt, calling it as it is. All right, she wants it now. What do you reckon the fruit of the Spirit is today? Patience. The final one, you had to wait, okay, for patience. And we're going to be looking at that today because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit that we don't often talk about, and it's probably the fruit of the Spirit we don't want to have to talk about because we want it now. And really, I hope today really just highlights to you how important patience is in your life and what God wants to say. We've been unpacking these scriptures. If you want to listen to the podcast, all the previous podcasts at Beacon Church, you can go find those on any podcast streaming. But we've been looking at a passage of scripture in Galatians about what God wants to produce in our lives when we draw closer to Him. And so we're going to look at this. Just going to keep, read this scripture one last time. Galatians 5, 1 says this, freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. In other words, don't return to your old life. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Down in verse 16 it says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They've killed it off. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You're like, well, where's patience in all that? The word forbearance is the word used. And actually in the Greek, the original language, makrothumia is the word. And just so you know, it's not the word patience. It actually means long-suffering or patience. Who wants long-suffering in their life? Suffer long? Good. Yep. Okay. Yep. Everyone's being honest with me this morning. That's good. No one wants long-suffering. No one really wants to be patient. And like Veruca, I want it now. It's going to be stuck in your head all day because it's really our attitude daily. Our natural selfish flesh just wants it now. But the Apostle Paul, when he writes this, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit God gave us, wants us to develop this strength in our own life. It's not about, you know, just being, oh, I'm patient. It's about enduring, going through times of suffering and pain and waiting for God's perfect timing. Ever had a moment in your life where you're like, how long is this going to take? Anyone? How long is this going to take, King Julian? You know, like, you just get this moment of like, I just want it now. Like, what on earth is going on? I'm sure this is the perfect timing for this to happen. But at the end of the day, patience is something we have to go through. We have to wait. We have to go through the suffering, the time, sometimes the long suffering. And I got to say, patience takes on different forms as you grow older. Who knows, when you're a kid, patience is different to when you're an adult. Like when you're a kid, different facets of patience. Like I remember probably the most annoying thing I ever had to do when I was a kid. We lived in Toowoomba and we had relatives in South Australia. 3-day trip. I tell you what, the patience that was needed in that was the constant words from us kids. Are we there yet? No, we're just leaving Toowoomba. You got three more days. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And isn't that just like our lives? Are we there yet? God, are we there yet? My gosh, surely now, surely the next turn that we're there. And it's like, God's like, hey, be patient. Be patient. Other moments in my childhood, the memories of patience for me were waiting for the mailman to deliver the birthday card from grandma. Because in that card was $10. And I tell you what, grandma often sent it late. And it could be a week late, and every day after school, is it here yet? Is it here yet? You open the car. Dear Aaron, happy, I don't care, there's $10, you know. I love you, Grandma. But, you know, like there's these moments of waiting. Teenage years, what was waiting like for me? You will never know, teenagers. You will never know the pain and suffering that was illegally downloading a song on Napster. Slow internet, 4 megabytes of great data. You download it, you open the song, it's the wrong song, you know? Like, it's literally, oh, the slow, waiting for, anyone with me here, waiting for the next episode of a TV show? Like, all week you're talking with your workmates, like, oh my gosh, is that person going to die? You know, like, you're waiting, waiting, waiting. But here's the thing, and in the matter of this world that we live in, it's kind of like patience and waiting doesn't really happen. And sometimes it's not even waiting for something we want, it's something we want to end. Right? Our patience, like the Cats musical on Broadway. You know, when's it going to be over? I want it now. Like, it's just, I just learned the hard way. It's 2 hours of people dancing like cats and painful, suffering. You know, don't do that to yourself. I now know why the tickets were half price. Look, I know it's all jokes aside, but I mean, waiting is part of this life. And unfortunately, the idea of patience, it's not something the world celebrates. It's not something that society wants. It's not a goal. In fact, the opposite. Every new invention really is about speeding up the process, isn't it? Like, how do we make it faster? How do we get things instantly? Instead of going to, you know, like in a restaurant, we go through the drive-through. We drive through, we download, we DoorDash it. We just find any way to make things faster. And as a result of the world we live in, the fruit of the Spirit that is patience isn't developed in our lives. Because we don't have the opportunity to slow down. And because we don't have patience, we can end up a bit like Veruca Salt, a bad egg. Like, we can miss what God has for us. And the Holy Spirit wants to develop the fruit of the Spirit being holy, of patience, sorry. The Holy Spirit wants to develop in your life. And today, it might seem a bit odd that the idea that God wants us to go through things like, the idea that God wants us to be patient, it's kind of like he refines us through the waiting. It's like, you know, like a beautiful metal that's being melted down, all the dross, all the rubbish, all the junk rises to the surface through patience, and he can remove it to leave the pure gold. And patience is something that we need. Through patience or long suffering, we are refined and we become more like Jesus every day. Patience actually is a beautiful thing. Romans 5, 2 to 4 says this, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, long sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Long suffering, patience, produces hope in our life over time. The writer of Galatians, Paul, when he writes this, he's saying, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the helper that Jesus said is going to come after he left, he says, through the Holy Spirit can produce the ability to be patient in your life. If you're a patient person, you can weather any storm that gets thrown at you. Any storm that can be thrown at you. The word patience, it's not just a little word about waiting. It's about enduring, continuing your pursuit of Jesus, even when you experience suffering. What a great time to come to church. We're talking about suffering today. You just got invited here and you're like, oh my gosh, I wanted to be encouraged, right? And I'm going to say to you right now, the one guarantee in this life is you will suffer. There will be pain. There will be trials. There will be struggles. And it's how we respond to those things that will grow us into the person that God wants us to be. What if God's desire for your life was to take you through something to actually mold you into the thing that you were created for right from the beginning? What if God is trying to produce something in your life today as you go through your struggles? Maybe he wants to reveal himself like never before and get you to a place of surrender and put your full trust in him. And you know, I got to tell you, today's message is really hard to write because I want it now. Like, I'm human. I got to be the first person to say, like, man, I like things now. Talk to Beck. Sometimes she's like, Hamilton, do you have to do everything right at the same time right now? Like, come on. Like, slow. Like, what? Because I, just like you, just want to get things done. Let's go after it. Let's make it happen. And after 20 years of following God, actually choosing to follow Jesus' teaching and do what he says, try to do that. Not just say I'm a Christian and not do as he says. Can I tell you, after 20 years of trying to do this, when it comes to patience, I can guarantee you, every time I think God's going to come through at a time that I thought was perfect, he doesn't. Like, seriously, the word no comes up a lot. But after 20 years, I've had to learn to trust that God knows best. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. He sees it all. He understands. He has a plan. And I have to surrender my life, my selfish ambitions, and trust that he will make all things beautiful in its time. A true surrender, a place of fully letting go and trusting him. Now, by the end of this message, I really hope, and I promise you, I'm going to give you a chance just to reconnect again and just go, God, I surrender it. Whatever the thing you're going through this week, right now, you've got an anxious spirit. Maybe you stepped in here and you're hearing me speak, but all you're thinking about is that thing that needs to happen. Stop. Allow God to speak again. Allow God to speak again. You know, when it comes down to it, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit being patience, it's literally the fruit in the fruit bowl I wish I didn't have to consume. Like, I would let it rot in that bowl like an old banana and go, I don't want that fruit. I'll have all the other fruits that are great. But patience is so annoying. But I actually think of all the fruits in the bowl, God's like, I want you to consume that daily. I want you to have the fruit of the Spirit being patient every day. Because when it comes to following God and his ways, we have to get to a place of his timing. Understand, he makes everything beautiful in its time. In fact, one of my favorite passages of scripture, I was sharing the 8 a.m. I actually did a massive art piece in high school on this passage of scripture. I was very reflective as a 16-year-old young man. And, you know, I was melting clocks almost like, you know, just, it was a bit dark actually. But anyway, I did this massive piece because of this scripture, but I actually love it because it reminds us there are times and seasons when it comes to God. Ecclesiastes 3 says this, a time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them up. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Let me read that last little bit so it really sits with you. I have seen the burden God has laid on the human heart. I have seen the burden of waiting. I have seen the burden of the suffering. I have seen the burden of the pain. I see it. But he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. You know, before I go any further, if you take nothing away, I know sometimes you come to church and after church, I go, you know, if I talk to people, I go, what did you learn today? I can't even remember what you said. You know, like there's, let's be honest, because our focus is so caught up in the life's crazy stuff. I want you to allow this statement. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Rest within you. If you just take that away and allow your spirit to believe the word of God, that he will make everything beautiful in its time, it can completely change your walk with God. Because there's a trust that you may have never had. It's a game changer. You know, our human nature is to take control, have full control of everything we do, to be clever, to make things happen. But today I want to say, relinquish control and let Jesus take the wheel. Let him lead your life. To be clear, I just want to make it very clear. I'm not saying don't do stuff. Don't go after your dreams. Don't be aspirational. Be full all in and give it your all. I'm actually all about that. God wants us to use our gifts to go after things. But what I am saying is when you get rejection, when you get a no, when doors close, how will you respond? Will you respond by saying, I throw in the towel on Jesus, or will I actually draw closer to Jesus, knowing he will make all things beautiful in its time? You don't ever know someone's faith until they get a no from God. You'll never know someone's faith until they get a no or a disappointment, a heartbreak moment or suffering or pain. I mean, that is really where what's inside of a person comes out. It's very easy to be a Christian while things are going well. But what happens when you have to be patient? I want to encourage you that the scriptures are true. I believe every scripture is God-breathed. And if that's true, then he is honest and true. And Romans says this, Romans 8, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How do I know that to be true? I believe that God loves us. He loves you. In fact, if you didn't know that, God loves you. Like he actually loves you. Right now, where you're at in your mess, he loves you. Will he call you to change? Absolutely. But he still loves you right where you're at. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, a free gift, a sacrifice that would give us a way to be free. How will we not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, he didn't just die, he rose again, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Understand, in your suffering, in your pain, Jesus is there at the right hand of God praying for you to not quit, not give up, to trust him. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither nor death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This week we heard about these pastors that lost their lives for their faith. Next week's going to be a powerful week. Steve Swenson coming. Come, be challenged. How does someone get to a place where when they get their life taken, they still stand for Jesus? They just know that they know that they know of God's love. Through death, not neither death nor life. Because of his love, we can be patient. We have confidence that even through the process of what we're going through, whatever struggles we're enduring, the Holy Spirit wants to develop further patience in us. And it's possible because of his love. And in his time, he will make everything beautiful. Guys, just so you know, as I was prepping this preach, I knew this preach was coming because early in the series of the fruit of the Spirit, we actually had to move a week because of some guest speaker, and we're like, do we change it all up? But kids were in line, and we're like, no, we'll just throw patience on the end, okay? And so I've always known that patience would wrap up this series, and I gotta be honest, something's been going on in my world in the background that I've really been believing for over time, and I thought that my preach today would be on, because I thought, you know what? God's going to bring it about the week before I preach, and I'm going to be able to preach to the church and say, see, patience, right? Patience, God comes through right on time, and here I am talking about patience. Guess what happened? Nothing! But I want it now! And so as a result, I had to write an entire new preach. And I'm like, God, are you kidding? You could have just done that. It would have been so simple, and I would have been able to give a great example of how you come through, but nothing. So what do I do?
I keep waiting. I keep trusting. I keep believing that he will make everything beautiful in its time. Patience is like a surefire way to grow your muscle of faith. Like, you can't not grow when you're patient. When you're going through a bit of suffering, when you're holding on for dear life, when it just doesn't make sense. But surely this was the perfect time for you to come through, God. And then it doesn't happen. You know the old saying, no pain, no gain? It's the same with faith. Unless you go through a bit of suffering, a little bit of pain, there's no stretch, there's no growth. And so we need to be patient. I've been doing a couple of PT sessions. Junior was in the last service and he hurts me. Like, I've been going to these sessions. On Friday, I got home, I lay in bed and I looked at Beck and said, I am hurting. My legs are so sore. I looked at her and said, Junior hurt me. Help. You know, like, it's like there's this sense of, but also I know that it's good for me. It's good for me. And patience is the same. In our society, though, patience is really countercultural. Like, society says, rush your relationships, jump into bed, get it done. God's way says, wait for marriage, be patient, and allow me to bless you. Just one example. But everyone's doing that. That's just society. That's an old, slow down, be patient, and trust me. Yeah, it might be a bit of suffering, but there's great reward when you do it my way. Let's be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Let's trust God's process. Following Jesus will cost you a lot. It will cause some pain and some suffering. You will look weird to the people around you because you're different. Peter writes this passage of scripture to highlight it's not a new thing for this to happen. In fact, Peter writes this in 1 Peter 4, 1 to 5. He says this, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. In other words, whoever suffers in the body, who makes a decision to follow Jesus, who suffers for Jesus, will be free to know true freedom. It says this, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless wild living, and they heap abuse on you. When was the last time you were abused because you do it Jesus' way? You're hanging out with your mates and they're like, yes, let's get wasted. Let's do this thing you know is wrong. And you actually, instead of just going, well, that's what we do, instead you go, I'm not doing that. And they start abusing you. You're weird Christian. You're this, you're that. This is not new, but this is what we're called to do. And maybe the suffering you have to go through is actually rejection of man, but God sees it. And Peter says this, he says, hey, just so you know, you will be free of sin. Your life, you will understand freedom. And for those who don't do this, it says this in verse 5, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. In other words, you're going to stand before God. Every one of us will. He will look at the actions of your life. Peter's like, hey, when you choose to follow the Spirit, you can be free and have absolute freedom and joy in your heart, knowing that when that day comes, you're good. There's a great reward to take on some pain, eternal life. Denying yourself the temptation of instant gratification and be patient. It's putting it out there. Wait for sex, young people. Wait for it. Like, wait for it. God has a promise for you. Don't miss it. Other things that we need to wait for, things like wanting something now, putting it on afterpay. I just want it now. I want it now. Afterpay.
Wallet wizard. That'll kill ya. I want it now.
Credit cards. Being in a place of just going, I want it now. And you know what? You will pay for it. Patience, slowing things down, will bring about great reward on multiple levels of your life. Like, I remember when Beck and I were first married, we got given this gift card. And it was, I think it was Freedom Furniture. Was it Freedom Furniture? It was Freedom Furniture. And it was actually a substantial amount of money. It was all Beck's friends from Sydney had come in and pulled all the cash. And I remember we opened it, we were like, that's nice, but like we would have preferred the cash. You know, like it's just like now we're forced to shop in this building and we need to go get some furniture. And I remember we went to the shop and we looked around and we, Beck and I, landed on one sofa that we both like. We're like, that is a nice couch. We like that couch. And then we turned over and saw how much that couch was. And we were nowhere near the amount of money that we needed for that couch. And I remember that Beck was like, can we get it? And I just remember saying, just wait. Like, I made a decision. I was like, we can't afford to put ourselves in more debt. We're already broke. Like, we started off, we didn't have the money for this couch to do the extra. We could have put it on a credit card. We could have. We could have put it on a payment plan. But instead, I was like, no. And you know what? About 2 weeks later, Beck sends me a message. Oh my gosh, check this out. 50% off. All right. We got that couch. They had to cart it up 5 flights of stairs. It was like that Friends episode. Pivot, pivot, pivot. Well, don't damage our new couch. And you know what? We got it right that time. And you're like, you are so spiritual, Az. Like, good on you. But today, I'm speaking from my own experience. We got that one right, but there's been many times in my life I've got it completely wrong. Completely wrong, where I was impatient. I'm speaking to you today really as a man that hasn't arrived when it comes to patience. But I find the more I draw near to God, He does draw near to me and He produces things in my life that I need. Truth is, today, I'm going to share this. This is very vulnerable. My impatience years ago almost cost me everything. I actually almost missed, I believe, the call on my life, what God had for me. I believe I would not be here today. There's no way I'd be your pastor because of my impatience of this moment. And I'm just going to be honest, like in my early 20s, I was a real go-getter and I was just ticking boxes. Like tick, tick, you know, property, tick. Got the dream job, tick, company car, tick, 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 tick. Early 20s, there was just one thing I didn't have and that was a wife. I wanted to be married and I want it now. Like I genuinely wanted to be married. I had a deep desire and I believe God places that in your heart because He doesn't want you to be alone. He places that in your heart. I desperately wanted to be married and I was going to church and a nice girl came along and you know what? I just went all in. I just rushed the process. Rushed it. Yes, tick, tick, tick. But you know what? Very early in the piece, I lost all of my peace, my internal peace. And I said a couple of weeks ago that when you lose your peace, that's a great red flag for God trying to speak to you because He is the Prince of Peace. And I lost my peace, but I want it now. And I just kept charging. I had close friends come to me going, are you sure? I just kept going. I had a close mentor come to me and say, Az, I want you to think about this decision. They could see stuff that I couldn't see. I had made my decision. I was making the call. One thing I didn't do was the thing that Beck talked about last week, inquire of the Lord. There was no chance I was asking God His opinion. I'd made my mind up. This is the girl for me. So I went and got myself a massive debt on a ring that I couldn't afford. I proposed way too quick. I blew up my life.
3 months later, I had to call that off after going through just what I can only explain as the most painful experience that I've ever had in my lifetime. Let me be really honest with you. I take full responsibility for my impatience. I own it. The thing that breaks my heart the most is I'm a man of my word. My yes is my yes, my no is my no. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I had to go against my own word to a girl, and I ripped out her heart and I ripped my own out and I destroyed everything. It left me financially broke, mentally just completely unstable. My whole world fell apart. It left me broke and broken. I just want to say that in that year, no worries, John, just take a seat, mate, it's all good. In that year, I found myself so broken that there was only one place to turn, and that was Jesus again. And I remember just fully surrendering my life back to him. I give you the wheel. I'm sorry. That's true repentance. That's what repentance is. Admitting your fault. Humbling yourself and going, I stuffed up because of my own selfish ambition. And I went, God, would you just do something in my life? I remember I ended up washing dishes that year for my job. Because I'd lost my job that year too. I lost everything. 10 years of property, lost everything. Then on the 27th of December, I had just started a new business. I went, I got to do this. I got nothing left. Debt collectors all calling me every day. And I got on my Facebook. I'm like, I'm trying to speak in schools. I want to work in schools. And I remember meeting this girl 3 years earlier. She worked with teenagers down in Sydney. And I just sent her a Facebook message. Hey, don't know if you remember me. 27th of December, 2011. Everything went to hell about April. Drove back. The rest is history. It was Beck. Hello. And within a week, I was like, I want her now. Anyway, so. I waited. Only about 9 months. And I was like, whew, it doesn't get better than this. He really does make everything beautiful in its time when we trust him. Being patient, trusting God's timing and plan actually pays massive dividends. Truthfully, it's worth the surrender. Connect to Jesus and who he is, and patience will be produced in your life. But how do we do it practically? Like, how do you practically be patient in a world where everything is instant? I want it now. I'm going to get it now. I don't care. Well, I'm going to give you a few tips. First thing, embrace trials. When things go wrong and you get a no and you get disappointment and you're going through pain, instead of blowing up and throwing everything out, this is ridiculous, I can't believe it, slow down and be patient because God will make everything beautiful in its time. He knows better than you if you just trust him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He sees it all. He knows where you end up. And you are his son or daughter if you follow him. You are more than conquerors. If he's for you, then who can be against you? So you need to get to a place where you go, okay, this is hard, but I trust you. Don't avoid difficulties. Face them with an assurance that God is using them to develop your character. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character hope. Second, practice some self-control. Practice self-control. We had that last week with the kids takeover, say no to the Domino's and all of the food. It was fantastic. But self-control, another one, we're like, I don't want to eat that fruit. Let's respond with our situations calmly and use some self-control. Instead of choosing the easy road for instant satisfaction, choose to slow down, to deny yourself those things. Be patient. Like, instead of getting the drive-through meal, slow down and go, if I've got time today, how about I go home and cook a meal that's better? Just slow down. I don't rush everything. And I'm only saying this because I'm being told this by my PT, okay? Like, I mean, I struggle with that. I just want everything now. I want it now. I just like, you know, convenience and everything like that. But like, really, self-control and slowing down is a really powerful thing. I shared this with the eight. I literally drove back from Rockhampton last week and I was all the way through the night, about midnight. I was so hungry. I'm hearing my PT's voice, Junior, going, don't eat takeaway, right? And I'm like, I don't care. I want it now. I'm like, I'm so hungry. I pulled into the Maccas and Gympie. Get out of the car, walk in. The guy up on the counter goes, sorry, mate, we just shut down the whole system. I won't be up for half an hour. Get in the car, keep driving. I'm like, okay, fine. I literally get back into town about 1 a.m. I'm still hungry. I go past the Birkdale Maccas. I drive in. I'm like, he doesn't need to know my PT. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I'm so hungry. I get to the order and the guy goes, oh, sorry, mate, our computer's just crashed. I can't take your order. And I'm like, fine, God, fine. Be better than me, okay? I was literally trying to do the wrong thing. I know it's silly, but I mean, in every element of our life, we've got to be patient. Instead of being like, you know, I'm just going to swipe right and go on a date because it looks good. How about you slow down and look in the church, take the time to get to know someone and find the person that God wants for you instead of rushing into what you want. Be patient. Trust Him. It's worth it. God's timing's perfect. Instead of going and getting yourself in stupid debt, here's an idea. Save up for that thing. Buy it cash. Buy it cheaper as cash. Cash is king. But it's going to take me forever. Yep. But it'll be worth it. Be patient. Slow down. Just because the world says everything's good instant, it's not. There's great reward for those who practice patience. Trust God's timing is the third one. Understand that God's timing is perfect. When things don't happen according to our schedule, trust He is working behind the scenes, and at exactly the right time, He will make it beautiful in His time. I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. I know it's not easy, but He has made everything beautiful in its time. And most importantly, seek God's help. This is a fruit of the Spirit. This is not self-help in the sense of, I need to do better. This is, God, I need you to give me the strength to do better. I need you, God. We want to be in a place where we're not singing, I want it now. We're literally just going, God, I want what you want. And I trust you. Don't have the attitude of Veruca Salt. Choose God's way. You know, when we apply just those four little tips, I actually think you'll just grow closer to God. The fruit of the Spirit, being patient, will develop in your life. It'll be a great thing for you. At the end of the day, the reason we have to be patient is God was patient with us. Who's really thankful that God's patient with you? Like, imagine if God was like, I gave you one chance and you do something wrong and He strikes you with lightning. It's outside, people, another one dead. Oh, well. God's like, I'm done with you. But the scriptures say that He is slow to anger. He is patient with us. 2 Peter 3, 8-10 says this, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise as some understand slowness. In other words, God's going to come through with His promises. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? He's being patient with us. He is like, I want everyone to come to repentance. I want you to understand I love you and the way you're doing things is wrong. Follow me. So we close our eyes right now. I want to challenge every person in this room to surrender. Whatever thing you have got in your life you are trying to take control of, I want you to make a decision today. I surrender. God, would you just do what you need to do? I trust you. I give it back to you. Also, for those in this room, you're trying to understand things. Maybe your life is an absolute mess right now, and you know it's because you've been impatient. You know you've made your own decisions, and you're in the mess because of what you did. Thank God, by the grace of God, He's like, at any space in your life, at any time, I'll forgive you and put you back on that path you need to go on. I can do that for you if you just trust me. What I need you to do is repent, though. You need to admit it. Say sorry. Own your actions. I own the decisions I've made in my life, and they were wrong. But I said, God, I'm sorry. Would you do something with it? And God restored me and made it beautiful. And He can do the same in your life today. If you want to just say, God, I'm sorry. I choose to follow your ways. I leave the past behind. Acknowledge that He's God of your life. You're not God. If that's you today and you just want me to pray with you and go, that's me. I'm getting back on track with Jesus. I just want you to lift your hand wherever you are. Yep, yep. Across the room, there's a bunch of you. There's more of you here going, you know you need Jesus. Yeah, right at the back there. Amazing, amazing. I'm going to pray for you right now. And I want you to pray this in your heart as well and speak it out and actually say, God, I'm sorry. I want to follow you. Jesus, I thank you for those responding to your word this morning. God, they're sorry for what they've made of their life and they're asking for forgiveness. They are deciding to repent and turn their life around and follow your ways, to trust in you again today. God, I pray you would give them the strength to do it. You would give them the fruit of the spirit of patience to endure whatever trial or struggle they go through. God, I thank you that you're going to do it because you love them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One final thing. I'm going to get you out of here. You've been really good at being patient with me this morning. The things that happen when you are a patient person. One, your spiritual maturity will grow. When you're patient, you'll create, well, we'll grow that perseverance and character, and there's going to be hope. Second, it's going to give you peace of mind when you trust in God's timing instead of your own. Third, when you're patient with others and you have patience in your life, your relationships will be stronger. I guarantee you that. And fourth, patience shows the world that your faith is real. You're not just following a God that makes you happy. You're following a God through every circumstance and situation. So let's be patient this week. God, I pray for this church. Pray your Holy Spirit will be with each and every member. God, I thank you that we've got a church that follows you, who wants to grow and become more like you. God, I pray that they'll embrace their trials this week as an opportunity to grow. Trust your perfect timing. God, I pray you empower us to be patient in our relationships, to reflect your love and grace around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.